The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Nun. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Victor Gindi, Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu, for continued Hatzlacha in all his endeavors, continued success, Bri'ut, health, happiness, and all good things. Amen.
Today's daf is being studied Lalu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ruh Hashem Tanichenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Lefuat Shedema, Yosef Ben Sarah, Rahamim Ben Adel, and Sarah Bat Rachel. El Na Lefad Alehem Betok Shar Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Lalu Nishmat Sophia Bat Farida. Ruh Hashem Tanichenu Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Nun Amud Rishon, three lines down. The Gemara is continuing the different takanot that were made by the Sanhedrin while they were established in the city of Usha. Amar Rabbi Ila, Be Usha Hitkinu, in Usha the rabbis of the Sanhedrin established Lamibazbiz. That means a person that's giving tzedakah to the poor people, Al Yibazbiz Yoter Mechomish. He should not give more than a fifth of his assets, meaning more than 20% he should not give, because then he himself is going to become needy and he's going to throw himself on the sibur. So we have to protect the giver from becoming a taker. So therefore the takana was he cannot give more than a fifth. Tanya na mehache, we have a brighter to support us. A person that's giving tzedakah al yibazbez yoter mechomesh. Shimmi yitztarech lebriyot, because maybe he's going to be now needed to the people, which means the people are now going to have to support him, so we don't want him to become dependent on the people. There was a story of a fellow that wanted to spend more than a fifth, and his friend did not let him. Umanu, who is the friend? Rabbi Yeshbeb. The Amdila, and some say the opposite. Rabbi Yeshbeb wanted to give more than a fifth. And his friend did not allow him. Umanu, and who is his friend? Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rav Nachman v'etimar Rav Chabri Yaakov me'ekera. How do we know this? That a person should not give more than 20%, because the pasuk says v'chol asher t'ten li aser aserenu. That was Yaakov Avinu made a neder that he said if God is going to give him a beracha, whatever God is going to give him, he's going to give aser t'aserenu, which is masma, 2 10%, which is 20%. So you see, that is the amount that Yaakov Avinu was going to give. So the Gemara asks, "V'halu dami isura batra le'isura kama?" Well, it's really not 20%, because the second 10% is not equivalent to the first 10%. Because if a person has, let's say, 10 items, and he gives 10%, so the 10% of 10 is 1. And then he's left with 9. And then they're getting you 10% of that. So it's really less than 20%. So how do you learn from their 20%? So the Gemara says, "Amarav Asher Aserenu lebatra ki kama." So Yaakov Avinu was saying, "Aser, I'm going to give 10%. Aserenu, and the second 10%, I'm going to give equivalent to the first 10%. Again, Aserenu lebatra, the 10% of the second one will be ki kama, like the first one, which means Yaakov Avinu could have said, "Aser, aser." So that would have been 10%, and then 10% of whatever's left over. But from the fact that it said, "Aserenu," I'm going to take 10% equivalent to what the first 10% was. Comes the Gemara and says, now we had three statements by the Ila'a that was teaching us different takanot that the Hachamim made in Usha. So the Gemara is now going to give us a way to remember them. Amar Rav Shimi Bar Asher, Ushmu'ot Halalu, these statements made by Rabbi Ila'a about the Takanot of Usha, mitma'atot veholchot, which means they go down, they descend, meaning the first opinion, so the first case of the Takanot of Usha was a case of what? about the takana that a person should support his children. Now that statement was made by the Bil'a in the name of Rish Lakish, in the name of the Yehuda, and Rabbi Hanina, which means there was three rabbis in the first statement. The second statement was that if a person writes all his assets to his children still have to support the parents. That was made by the Bil'a in the name of Rish Lakish. It's only two rabbis. And the third opinion was that the Hachamim made a takana that lo yibazbez yoter mechomesh. That was made by the Bil'a himself. So the first statement had three rabbis, then two rabbis, then one. So the Gemara gives a rim of how to remember the order. V'simanach, the way you remember it, ketanim katbu ubizbezu, which means the first takana was what? Ketanim. That a person should support his children, even though they're ketanim. And they were three rabbis that said that. And the second case was katvu, which means when he writes all his nechassim to his children, so he has to, children still have to support the parents. So that was said by two amoraim. And the last shita was bizbizu, which was said by one amora. So they descend in order, 3, 2, 1. Amar b'yitzhak, the usha et kinu, and usha they made a takana, שיהיה אדם מתגלגל עם בנו עד 12 שנה מכאן ואילך יורד עמו לחייו. So the takana was like this. If a child, let's say, refuses to study Torah, so you have to try to talk to him in a nice way in order to train him, in order to talk to him softly to get him to go study Torah. That you do until he's 12 years old. מכאן ואילך. But after that, if he still refuses to go study Torah, the Gemara says, Yored Imo Lehayab. Then already you have to go after him, which means you have to give him a chinuch in a harsh way, meaning you hit him with the whip, and you even have to refrain from him, mizonot, anything to get him to go study Torah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? We have a contradiction. Veha amar le Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat. Now, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat was a school teacher. He was melamed tinokot. So Rav told Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, Betzir Mibar Shit, which means a child that's less than 6 years old, Lotikabel, don't accept him, he's too young, don't take him yet to the yeshiva. Bar Shit, Kabil, but once he's 6 years old, accept him, Usfi Le Ketorah, which means teach him Torah and stuff him like an ox, which means just like they shove the food down the throat of an ox, that's the way they feed him. So too, once he's 6 years old, start stuffing him and forcing him to study Torah. Now, I thought we said that until 12 years old, you should do it softly and in a pleasant manner. So the Gemara says, yes, sefe le ketorah. No question, a young child after 6 years old, you have to stuff him up with Torah like they stuff up a ox. But you don't have to be harsh with him where you start punishing him and hitting him and taking away his food. Then you don't start until 12 years old. Another answer. Which means that which Rav told him, Shmuel Bar Shilat, that at 6 years old, you have to stuff him up. That's for Mikra. That's for Chumash, Tanakh. However, that was what Rav said in Usha, that you don't stop punishing him until 12 years old if he doesn't want to learn. That's referring to Mishnah. The Amar Abaye, who was an orphan, said, Amra li em, my mother said, that he doesn't mean his mother, this is referring to his nurse, the one that raised him. Abaye used to call the nurse em, my mother. Bar shit le mikra. Already at 6 years old, you start teaching the child mikra, pasuk. Bar eser, once already becomes 10, le mishnah. When you're ready, you start teaching him mishnayot. Bar Telefar, already at 13 years old, Letanita Me'et Le'et, which means once already he begins the 13th year. That means when he's 12 years and one day, already he has to fast on Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, Me'et Le'et, which means until he's 13 years old, he does not have to fast from the Torah. However, there's an obligation before he becomes 13 years old, when he enters the 13th year, meaning 12 and one day, to start fasting mitam chinuch the whole day. Of course, the years before that, he only fasts what the Gemara said in Yoma, ta'anit sha'ot. He only has to fast up to certain hours, but not the full day. U'betinoket bat teresar, which means once a girl reaches 11 years and one day, already she has to be trained to fast the entire day for Kippur. So the Mefashim explained, because a girl has more strength than a boy, and therefore she could start fasting the whole day from when she's 11. Now she explains, why does she have more strength? Because she does not obligate to study Torah. So the Torah weakens a person. So the boy doesn't start fasting until he's 12 and a day, meaning full day of Kippur, and the girls start at 11 and a day. So you see over here again that the study of Mishnah, so that's about past started age. Amar Abaye, Abaye continues, Hai Bar Shik. If you have a child that is 6 years old, the Tarkale Akraba, that was bitten by a scorpion, Biyomad Mishlam Shit, on the day that he finishes his sixth year, Lo Hayeh, he's not going to live unless you give him a certain type of medicine. Which means if he gets bitten less than six, he's not going to make it till 6 years old unless he is treated. So the Gemara says, what is the medicine that will heal him? The Gemara says, Mirta didaya shivarta, which means the mara, which is the spleen of a type of white bird that's called the daya. So daya's name of the bird, shivarta, is white. The mirta is the spleen. Bishikhla, and you mix it with beer. Nishfiye, and you smear this mixture of the spleen of the, I think that maybe I'm saying spleen, but it probably is the gall. And you mix it in the shechar, in the beer, v'nashkiye, and let him drink from it. Hai bar shata, the child is 6 years old, v'tarik lezibura, he was bitten by a hornet. V'yomad, the mishlim shata, when he finishes his year, lo haye, he is, now, Hai Bar Shata, forgive me, that's a child that is 1 year old, which means he's in his first year. Bar Shata, the Tariq Le Zibura, that is bitten by a hornet, the Yomad Mishtadim Shata, on the day that he finishes his first year, Lo Hayev, he's not going to live unless they give him the proper medicine. My Asfata, what is the medicine? Asfata, the Dikla, the Maya. You take a certain type of grass that grows at the bottom of the palm trees, they call it a sieve, and you take it and you mix it with water, nishpiye, and you smear it on him, b'nashki, and you give him to drink. Amar Rav Katina, comes the Gemara and says, kor machnis et beno, anybody that enters his son, pachot mi ben shef, he enters him to the yeshiva to go study, less than 6 years old, rat aharav, you're going to have to chase him. Which means, because the child is weak, he's always going to need to be fed and taken care of in order that he remains healthy. The end of magi'o, which means, and no matter what you do, you're not going to catch up to him, because the Torah weakens a person. The child's not going to be able to stand the weakness that the learning puts on the person. And therefore, you're going to chase him, you're not going to be able to catch up with him to maintain himself. Ika de amri, and some say a little differently, that if a father sends his kid to the yeshiva when he's less than 6 years old, haverav ratzin aharav, which means his friends, the friend is going to run after the child to try to be like him in Torah, the end, but they're not going to reach him, which means when he gets a head start less than 6 years old, his friends are not going to be able to reach that level. The Gemara says both are true. Halish v'gamir, which means, yes, he's going to be weak because he started at a young age, less than six, and he's going to be weak because the Torah takes its toll on a person, but the Gamir is going to be, a Pikah is going to be smart. Both are true. And some say, no, it's some are two different types of children. Ha, the Chahish, which means if you have a weak child, so then already if you're going to send him to the yeshiva when he's less than 6 years old, he's going to get sick, it's going to be dangerous. Ha, the Bari. But a child that's healthy and Bari and he's strong, so you send him to the yeshiva when he's young, he's going to succeed, and all his friends are not going to be able to catch up with him. Comes the Gemara and continues, Amar Rabbi Yosef Bar Hanina. Be'usha hitkinu, in Usha they made a takana. Ha'isha shemachra b'nichse midlog. Now, what are nichse midlog? Nichse midlog are the assets that a lady brings into the marriage, and they're written in the ketubah. She herself owns the principal. However, the perot, the fruit, the husband is able to enjoy. Now, the law is that after she dies, the husband inherits the nichse milog. So now the Gemara says they made a tekana in Usha that if a lady, let's say, sold the principal of the Nisim Elog, meaning that after she dies, the principal should go to someone else. She did that when the husband was alive, meaning she had rights, because when the husband's alive, she owns the principal, so she sold it to somebody else, that when she died, the principal would go to him, umeta, and then she died before her husband. Now, normally the husband is supposed to be Yoresha, so the takana was a ba'al mozi miyad al-lakuhot. The husband is able to take that property from the buyers, which means the Hachamim considered it as if the husband owns them. And therefore, he comes before anybody else. And therefore, the sale is not a sale. And therefore, he gets it. Hachamim made a takana, that the sale will not be alleviate the issue, which means he is still going to get the field.
Ashkehe Rav Yitzhak Bar Yosef Rabbi Abu. Dehaba ka'eb uchlusa de'usha. Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Yosef found Rabbi Abu that he was walking with a multitude of people in the city of Usha. Amar le, so Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Yosef tells Rabbi Abu, ma marad shmata de'usha. Who is the author of all these takanot in Usha? Who's the rabbi that made all these takanot, that the statements are made in his name? Amar le, Rabbi Yosef Bar Hanina. So the author of all these statements is really Rabbi Yosef Bar Hanina. He's the master of the statements of Usha. So Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Yosef, he repeated that statement, that Rabbi Yosef Bar Hanina is the author of the statements of Usha. He repeated it 40 times, until it was as if he had it in his pocket, which means he wanted to remember who the author of the statement was. He repeated it 40 times until it was so clear to him as if he had it in his pocket.
Comes the Gemara and continues. Ashre shomre mishpat ose sedaka bechol et. Fortunate is a person that keeps justice and he does charity at all times. So the Gemara asks, v'chi efshar la'asot sedaka bechol et? Is it possible for a person to do charity at all times? Dar shu rabotenu shebiyavne, so the rabbis of Yavne were doresh, ve'amri la rabbi Eliezer ve'hazan panav ubnotav kishehen ketamim. This is referring to somebody that supports his children when they are ketanim. As we learned earlier, really from the law, it's not mandatory for a father to support his children when they are ketanim. And therefore, it really be considered tzedakah. So a father that is involved in supporting his children is really involved in tzedakah. Bechol et. Now she says, Ve'azan banav u'mnotav ketanim shetamid yom v'alay lahen alav v'i tzedakah shenechayuv alav v'ahem. Comes the Gemara continues to be Shmuel ben Nachmani Amar, Ve'amegadel yatom v'ituma betuch beto u'masi'an. This is referring to somebody that raises a yatom and a yituma in his house and then marries them all. So that is considered, really, is doing tzedakah because he's not obligated to really support them, but he's doing that, so that's considered tzedakah bechol et. Comes the Gemara and continues from another pasuk in Tehilim, Hon va'osher bebeto v'sitkato omedet la'ad, which means he has possessions and wealth in his house, treasures and wealth in his house, and his sitkato and his righteousness will stand forever, which means he'll give tzedakah and he will not be lacking anything. Rav Huna v'Rav Chizda had amar ze halomed Torah u'lameda, that this is referring to somebody that not only learns Torah, but teaches Torah. So on him the pasuk is fulfilled. Hon ve'osher bebeto, which means he has wealth in his house. That's the Torah that he learns. Besitkato omedet lahad. But his tzedakah, his charity stands forever, which means that's the Torah that he teaches to others, which means he doesn't lose anything. He just gains, which means he has the wealth that he attains, but even though he gives it out, he doesn't lose from his own. So therefore, it's a win-win. He has his own wealth, and he gives it to others. That's somebody that learns Torah and teaches it to others. This is a person that writes Sefer Tanakh,
and he lends it out to others to use. And therefore, on him it's fulfilled the pasuk hon ve'oshel bebeto, which means he has the Torah Nevi'im Ketuvim that he wrote, and therefore that remains for him, because once he writes it, it stays forever. He has a tzedakah because he lends it to others. So he benefits, he has something permanent, but he gets tzedakah as well, because he's sharing it with others. Comes the Gemara and says, Ure banim lebanecha shalom al Yisrael. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, that you should see banim lebanecha shalom al Yisrael, there is peace in Israel. So what does that mean? You should see grandchildren and there is peace in Israel. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, kevan shebanim lebanecha shalom al Yisrael. Once already your sons will have sons, then automatically there's going to be peace in Israel. Why? Delo ate lide halitza v'yibum. Because now, but not if the children die. So now their wives are not going to need halitza or yibum. Now halitza is a sort of fight because she has to spit in the Yavam's face and embarrasses him. And she will not have to come to Yibum as well, because sometimes she doesn't want to make Yibum, and they make Yibum against her will. So therefore, when a person, once already the child has children, automatically shalom, because even if he dies, there's not going to be necessary a halitza situation, which sometimes can become a little controversial, or a Yibum situation. Gebarah continues, Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani Amar, Kevan shebanim lebanecha shalom al dayanei Yisrael, delo ate leinsuye. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani comes along and says, once already there's banim lebanecha, once already there's children have children, there's peace on the judges of Israel. Delo ate leinsuye, because now the relatives are not going to fight who comes first in the Yerusha. Because we know the children always come first. When there's no children and the guy dies, everybody's saying, hey, I want a Yerusha, I want a piece of the action. But once already there's children, everybody knows the children come first. So therefore, banim lebanecha, shalom al Yisrael. The Gemara continues, Ze midrash darash Rabbi Elazar lefnei hachamin. Which means we learned in the Mishnah that there were two takanot that the hachamim established that was written in every ketubah. The first takana was benin dechrin. Let's review what that takana was. Takana is as follows: that in the event that a person has, of course, a ketubah that he wrote to his wife, and there's monies that are in the ketubah, in the event that, let's say, the husband dies, or let's say the wife dies, let's put it that way, so the children inherit, the boys inherit the wife's rights towards the ketubah. Besides all the other inheritance that they might have to split with the other brothers, but they have a stake in their mother's ketubah. That's the law of benin dechrin. Now, there was another law that we said as well, that they put in the ketubah, that in the event the husband dies, the estate will pay to feed the girls, either until they become bogrot, which is 12 and a half years old, or if they get married. Okay, so those were the two takanot, and Rabbi Elazar was doresh, that just like the law of benin dechrin does not apply only until the husband dies, so then the children inherit the mother's ketubah, so too the law of supporting the daughters applies only in the event if the father died, then already the estate must take care of the daughter. So both are after death. Now the Gemara begins. Yativ Rav Yosef kameh de Rav Menuna. Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Menuna. Yativ Rav Menuna v'ka'amav. And Rav Menuna was sitting and he said the following statement, Kishem she'en habanim yorshim, ela menakarka, just like children, boys, only inherit real estate, kach en habanot nizonot, ela menakarka.
So too girls, when we say that we have to support them after the death of the father, they're only supported from the property, from the real property, not from movables. So after he made that statement, Rabbi Menuna, that is, Avash aleku le'alma, so the whole world started to scream. She didn't understand the statement. Deshavik ara hu diyarte lebeneh. Only somebody that has real estate, he inherits it to his children. Delo shavik ara lo yarte lebeneh. But if he doesn't have real estate, he doesn't inherit his movables, his tangibles to his children. Which means, what does Rabbi Menuna mean when he says, Ena banim yoshim ena mina karka? Why, if a father doesn't have karka, so the children don't inherit the tangibles, the metaltelin? So Amar le Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef comes along and defines what Rabbi Menuna actually meant. V'dilma kitovet binin dechrin ka'amar mor. Which means he wasn't talking about regular inheritance. Of course, a regular inheritance, the children inherit everything. What Rabbi Menuna was talking about was the two takanot that they wrote in the Ketubah, which is the takana of benin dechrin, of male sons, that what? They inherit the mother's Ketubah. Which means, like we said, if the father dies, so then already the Ketubah, and then the mother dies, will move to the children. So it says that what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about regular inheritance. He was talking about the inheritance of Benin Dechrin, and he was saying that that inheritance is only from Karka, which means the boys only inherit if there's real estate from the Ketubah. Which means the Ketubah payment is from real estate, not from tangibles. So, Mor Amar Le, again, V'dilma Ketubah Benin Dechrin Ka'amar Mor. So Rabbi Yosef says, maybe he was talking about the Ketubat Benin Dechrin. So Amar Leh. So Rabbi Menuna said, you're 100% right. Mor de Gavra Rabba, you're a great man who yada mai ka'amina. You know exactly what I meant. Which means, of course, when it comes to regular inheriting from the Torah, the children inherit everything. The boys inherit everything. Which means what Rabbi Menuna was actually referring to was the law of Benin Dechrin, that the children only inherit their mother's ketubah only from karkaot. But let's say the father left metaltelin, they do not yoresh metaltelin from the ketubah of their mother. Similarly, a daughter that is being supported by the assets of the father after the father dies only also is from karka. Which means that was the takana of the hachamim, that what? That just like the boys only inherit from karka, the girls are only supported also from karka. So that was the statement saying these two takanot that the rabbis included in the ketubah, you should know that the payment is exacted only from karka, not from metaltelin. And that was his chiddush. And then she just brings us this derashah from later on. Look at the third line in Nashi. Dilma ketubat. Benin dechrin ka'amar mor, lefi sheshtei takanot halalu, shetetu hakamim betnai ketubah, there's two takanot, lomdot zu mizu, they learn from each other, v'chtobet benin dechrin tena, we learn later on daf tzadi aleph, that the en nigbit min ha-metaltelin. The Nashim means us the whole Mishnah later on, that you see what, that the benin dechrin, that which they get their mother's ketubah, only from the father left real estate, they get it from the real estate. And therefore, similarly, just like they only get it from the real estate, the girls that are being supported are only supported from the real estate as well. Comes the Gemara and says, different stories of Amoraim, the way they dealt with the daughters when it came to supporting them. Well, the statement we just made now from Rabbi Menuna's Mashma, that you only support them from things that are real estate, from the properties, but not from things that are tangibles. So now the Gemara is going to tell us different stories and episodes of how the Chachamim dealt with supporting the children after girls after the father died. Amar B'chayat Bar Yosef, the B'chayat Bar Yosef said, Rav Zan Meshite Da'aliyah. Now, when they came in front of Rav, Yitorot, let's say, they came in order to, let's say, get some sustenance after their father died, and the father did not leave real estate. So Rab said, you can give them chikim. Now,
Chitim obviously is wheat. Now wheat is immovable. Now we have to see exactly what this word aliyah means. Chitim shel aliyah, but for sure the word chitim means he gave them movables. So now the Gemara wants to know exactly, well, what was the case over here? Ibaya lehum. The question was raised in the Beit Midrash. What was Rav actually giving these girls? Panasah havya. Maybe what he was giving them was panasah. Now what is panasah? The rabbis instituted another law, that after the father dies, there's money that's put aside in the dunya, which is like a dowry, that pays for the wedding, which means the girls are going to get married, so they need money for the wedding. So therefore, the father would put money aside, that was called for panasah, that was really for the tzorech of the wedding and all the expenses, and that law applies that even by metaltelin, even by movables, the father must put a certain sum aside that pays for these things. So therefore the question is, maybe when Rav was saying to these girls that they could take from Shittim, meaning it wasn't for Mizonot, not for their sustenance. Maybe it was from the Midunya, meaning he was saying that you could take from the dowry. Umay Aliyah, then what does the word Aliyah mean? Me'liyuta de'av, which means according to the generosity of the father. Me'aliyah. Because the law is like this. How much money can the rabbi take? The father's dead. So they make a estimation how generous or how cheap the father was. If they estimate him as a very generous guy, so they'll put a lot of money on the side, what he would have done probably when he was alive. So that's ma'aliyah shil'ah, from the point of the generosity of the father. And therefore, it was a issue of panasav the nidunya. Or, like Shmuel taught, damash Shmuel lefanasah, when it comes to panasah, when it comes to taking the money for the wedding, Shamin Be'av, you evaluated according to the generosity of how much we could assume the father would have given if he was alive. Or Dilma, or maybe the story of Rav was Mizone Mamashaba. Maybe no. Maybe the girls were coming for actual sustenance, Mizonot. And he was telling them what? Give them Shitim. And if Umay Aliyah, what is Aliyah then? What is Aliyah doing anything? Midivarim Tovim Shine'emru Ba'aliyah. Which means he was telling them from the wonderful halachot that were said in the attic. Now, we know that many times when the rabbis would institute laws, they would do it in the aliyah, in the attic. Many gemariot talk about the aliyah. That's where the rabbis would convene. It seems it was a private place where there was they were able to concentrate. So therefore, there was a certain takana that was made in the aliyah. What was that takana? The Amar Rabbi Yitzhak bar Yosef ba'aliyah. That the rabbis established that what? The girls indeed will get their panasah from metaltelin, which is even though we learned that what? That the girls really only get from karka, that's what Rav Aminuna taught us, but they made a takanan da aliyah, maybe, and that what? That they should get even from metaltelin. So that we have a safek, was Rav when he said to the girls they're getting shitim mina aliyah? There's two ways of learning it. Either chitin means chitin for the dowry, ma'aliyah meaning for the generosity based on what the father would be estimated to give, or does it mean, no, he gave them chitin for mizonot, even though chitin's immovable, it's a tangible, but ma'aliyah, based on the ruling that was said in the attic that the rabbis established that a girl will get mizonot even from the metaltelin. So that was the question they had. What exactly was Rav doing there? Tashema, so give me the story. Bedide Rabbi Banai Ahud Rabbi Shia Bar Abba. Which means this is a story of Rabbi Banai, who was the brother of Rabbi Shia Bar Abba. In his possession, yani Bide in his possession, Havu Metaltelin Diyatme. He had some movables, property, movable items that belonged to the Yetomim. Atule Kamed Shmuel, so now the girls, the sisters of these Yetomim, they came in front of Shmuel and they said, listen, we want to be supported. The brothers, of course, get it as Yerusha, that's the Yetomim, but the girls came along and said, we want to get supported. Amar Lesu, Shmuel said, Zil Zon, go and give them Mizonot. So the Gemara says, my love, the Mizonet. Must be that Shmuel was coming along and saying, what? Give them a mizonot. Uchter Rabbi Yitzhak bar Yosef, he holds like Rabbi Yitzhak bar Yosef, that what the Tachamim made a takana, that the girls, the Yetomot, will get even from metaltelin. And therefore, since Shmuel clearly holds like that, we could assume that Rav is not going to argue on him. And therefore, when Rav was giving the girls shekin, it was for the mizonot based on the ruling in the Aliyah.
So the Gemara says, no, you have no proof. No, hatam the panasa habay. No, Shemuel was giving the girls from the Yitomim, he was giving them for panasa, for the nidunya, for the dowry, for the wedding. And Shemuel is going the tamik when his reasoning. Amar Shemuel, the panasa shamim, when it comes to the panasa, you evaluate how much the father would have given under those circumstances, and therefore you take it from the estate. Comes the Gemara and brings another story about how the rabbis dealt with the Yitomot getting movables. Hava uvda bin havda. There was a story in the city of Nevada that the Yitomot, they wanted to get mizonot from the assets of their father. And the judges in Nevada ruled, indeed, in their favor, that they can't even get movables. The Pumpedita, there was a story in Pumpedita that the Yitomot also wanted from the assets of the father. And he also, Rav Hana Bar Bizna, took money from the Yitomim, and even though it was movables, in order to support the Yitomot. Amar Lehu Rav Nachman. So the Rav Nachman told those judges, Zilu Ahadaru, go give the money back to the Yitomim, which means you weren't allowed to take it from them. Because really the halakha is that you can only take from the real estate, and therefore you're not allowed to take, and you took it illegally. And therefore he says, Zilu. If you're not going to return the money back to the Yitomim, like Bina Lehu, Nafta Naichu Minaichu, I'm going to take away your house from you, which means I'm going to put a lien on your houses, rabbis. Return that money because it was taken unlawfully, because you're not allowed to take Metalkin. So you see clearly Rav Nachman holds that you're not allowed to take Metaltelin for the Yitomot, so much so that he held that when the rabbis did it, it was against the law, and they're going against a halakha, and therefore they have to return the money, and if not, the rabbi was going to seize the property of the rabbis that took money unlawfully. Comes the Gemara and says a story, Rabbi Amin, Rabbi Asis, Savur, Limezan, Mimetaltene. Rabbi Amin, Rabbi Asis, they thought to give the Yitomot Parnasa, but actually food, from the movables of the Yitomim that the father left over. Amar Lehu, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi says, Milta, Rabbi Yohanan, Rishlakish, Lo Avde Ba Uvda. Atun Abdin Ba'uvda, which means Rabbi Yohanan and Nishlakish, when the case came to them, they would not give movables to the Yitomot. And you're going to rule in a case that even Rabbi Yohanan and Nishlakish did not do such a halakha? Gemara tells another story. Rabbi Elazar Savar Limezam Metalteli. Rabbi Elazar also thought to give the Yitomot from the Metalteli that the father left over. Amar Defanav Rabbi Shimon Ben Eliakim. Rabbi says, Rabbi, I know that you're not doing this because it's the law, which means you're doing it because you have Ela Midat Rahmanut. You have Rahmanut. It seems that the rabbi saw that when Rabbi Elazar was giving the Yitomot, he saw that he wasn't giving it because it's the law. He saw him probably talking to the Yitomim and coaxing them, please be nice, support your sisters. So he saw, I know you're not doing this because it's halakha that they have to do it. You're doing it because it's compassion. However, I'm concerned. Ela shimma yidua talmidim. But I'm worried that the students might see what you're doing. Yikdeu halakha ledorot. And they're going to think it's the halakha. They're not going to know you went above, beyond the letter of the law. They're going to think that you're taking the money because it's coming to them from metaltelin. Really, that's not the halakha. So therefore, even though you're doing it because it's Rahmanut, but it's going to cause a takala, a stumbling block in the future, because the students are not going to know that. They're going to think that that is indeed the halakha. So if he told them to be careful, comes the Gemara and says, Ahu de'ata lekamed Rabbi Yosef. The story is a fellow came in front of Rabbi Yosef, or a person came in front of Rabbi Yosef. Actually, she was a yitoma. She was a orphan, and she came along to the rabbi and said, listen, I want from the estate, I want the mizonot. I'm adehu. So Rav Yosef went to the brothers, this Yitomah, and said, Havu la mitamre de'al budia. Go give us from the dates that fall off the tree and land on the mat. It seems they used to put a mat underneath the palm tree, and they used to catch the dates in order for them to dry. So these were movables. So the rabbi said, listen, he told the brothers, go give them some of the timarim that are on the budia, and give them to your sister as a support. Amar Rabbi Yosef, he tells Rav Yosef, Ilu ba'al hob hava ki'ai gavna, which means if, let's say, it wasn't the case of the yatom, let's say it was a ba'al hov, which means somebody that is a creditor. Which means, would you let a creditor take from the timarim, from the movables? Which means, a creditor, when somebody's owed money, so he has a great power. He's able to take from real estate. But he's not allowed to take from movables, which means, let's say, there was a creditor. And now the creditor comes to the yitomim. The law is that the creditor is allowed to go to the yitomim and take real estate. Because there's a lien on the real estate, on the properties. But the creditor is not allowed to take the movables of the yitomim. All the more so, the girls who do not have a claim like a baal hov, which means they cannot take from nechassim mishrabadim, from real estate, all the more so, they should not be able to take from the metaltelim. Let's read that in Mashi to get it a little clearer. Look at 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom. Ilu ba'al hod hava kilomar. Afilu ba'al hod, even a creditor. She afeko hod etrok mi mishur badim. Which is, he's allowed to even take from properties. Which is, he puts a lien on the properties. Even if a property was sold, that's the point. Even if a property was sold, a creditor is allowed to go to the one that bought the property and put a lien on it. Ena go pe me metatir in children, but he still cannot take from the movables. The case of a yitomah, she's not allowed to go to the people that bought the property and put a lien on them, so all the more so she shouldn't get movables. Which basically the Gemara is saying, a creditor who has more power in collecting still cannot collect for movables. So a yitomah that doesn't have the same power as a creditor certainly can take from the movables. So amale. So Rabbi Yosef comes along and tells Abaye, "Dehazia lebudya ka'amina." He says, "No, I would take from the ones that fell off the tree. I was saying that she should take from; they should give her the yitomah from the dates that already reached the stage of ripening, that they're worthy to fall off the tree and land on the mat, but they're still attached to the tree. So really, it's still considered." Karka. Therefore, the law is that Yitomim get from Karka, which means when I said from the Budya, I meant not the ones that landed on the Budya, that landed on the mat. Ones that are ripe already or worthy to fall on the mat. On the mat, that is. So comes the Gemara and says, Sof, sof, but bottom line, we have a rule. Kola omed ligzoz kegazuz dameh. There's a law that says that anything that already is standing to be cut is considered cut. So therefore, it's metaltelin again. Because if you tell me these things were ripe, and therefore they're worthy already to fall off the tree, so it's not considered attached to the tree, even though they are attached. Because we have a law, kola gaz, kola omed rigzoz, anything that's standing to be cut, ki gazuzdom, it's considered cut. So we're back to the question, it's metaltelin. So the Gemara answers, no, ditzlicha l'dikla ka'amina. Now I'm talking about where they were still needed, they still needed the tree. So which means they're in a quasi-state. They're ripe enough that if they would fall now, they would be worthy to land on the mat, and they would dry up and they would be edible. But they still had more growth. Therefore, they still needed to be on the tree, technically. There's still a benefit. We'll say it like that. There's still a benefit that it has to be on the tree. So therefore, it's not considered kol ha'omed l'gzoz, because really it still deserves to be on the tree. And therefore, it's considered karka. And that's why he told him to take from those type of dates that are considered karka. And therefore, he was following the law that the yitomot only get from the things of the karka. So you see stories back and forth of did they get from metaltelin based on a takana, or did they only get from the karka, from the land. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.